Today we have an incredible special guest named Lemon Price, who is a fellow podcaster, and she is such a joy. You will not want to miss this episode. She teaches us amazing principles about women and leadership and how we can move forward with faith and courage no matter what we're facing. Stay tuned. Hey parents, welcome to Fulfillment Therapy. Do you want to raise your kids better and have a stronger marriage? Are you up late at night researching marriage and parenting tools and self-care tips? Do you start each day hoping for deeper connections and less chaos, but it ends with family arguments and going 12 different directions again? My name's Kendra, wife, mom, therapist, and growth enthusiast. It wasn't until I discovered how to fulfill my unmet needs that I was finally able to show up as my best self, as a spouse and parent. I realized that by meeting my needs, I could more fully meet the needs of my family with more energy and less resentment. In this podcast, I teach parents skills like boundary setting, prioritizing personal needs, communication, and claiming ownership. Just like my clients, you'll be shocked by the improvement in your marriage, parenting, and personal life when you focus on fulfilling your important, unmet needs. Ready to prioritize yourself so you can quit mentally throat-punching people? Then grab those earbuds and head outside, and let's rock and talk. Welcome back to Fulfillment Therapy. Today we have a special guest, Lemon Price, on our show, and I'm so excited to have her here. And I'll let you introduce yourself in just a minute, but I just want to give a brief little bio about her. She is an entrepreneur, a loving mom, devoted partner, and she is in marketing and journalism. She's also a fellow podcaster herself. And Christian, and I'm trying to think, a leadership coach, and so much more. So I'd like you to speak more to that, Lemon, but she is a joy, so I can't wait for you to get to know her a little bit.
Oh my gosh, Kendra friend, thank you. I'm so excited to be here and just chat with your listeners.
Thank you for coming, first of all. It was kind of a last minute thing, or trying to make it happen for a little while. And I remember, I just told her this a second ago, but seeing her on different training things that we're doing. And I love that her name is Lemon Price. I'm like, oh, that sounds like a movie star name. Like, I want to be called Lemon. But unfortunately, I was not given that name. So you're already famous in my eyes.
But oh my gosh. That is some, my youngest said that last night. He was talking to somebody. He's like, Mom, he's like, you've been in Forbes twice. You're famous. He's like, I need you to remember you're famous. I'm like, thank you, buddy. Nobody thinks I'm famous except for you. So thank you, though. But he like hypes me up, and then he kicked me into my office. He's like, you have things you need to accomplish, Mom. He's like, remember, you're famous.
Oh, that is so sweet. That reminds me, not the Forbes part, but I'm aiming for that next. But my daughter texted me the other day, my oldest child, she is 16 going on 17. I feel like that's a line from a movie. Yes, it is. The Sound of Music.
Sure anyway. Is. Look, we were just singing. This is like, this is the vibe. It's the vibe here.
Totally. I wish you would have just started singing that, by the way, but next time, maybe.
Next time.
But anyway, in that text, she's like, Mom, people keep telling me about your podcast. And even my therapist told me about it. And then she was like, wait a minute, this person looks familiar. She didn't know it was you. Anyway, I was like, that's awesome. I'm so glad that you're seeing that. And then she just encouraged me. You're doing awesome things and so proud of you. So those things really matter. Even if the rest of the world doesn't know us, it's pretty great when our kids see that.
I think it's so cool when you have family buy into what you're doing.
Absolutely. You need that support for something that can be hard sometimes, even though it's massively rewarding. Getting back to your bio, tell me about you. This is your chance to just brag about yourself. Tell us all the good stuff.
My gosh, this is the I hate doing that. But yeah, so I'm a certified speaker. I'm a Christian leadership and life coach. And then I podcast. The podcast has been in Forbes twice now in the last 3 months, which is insane.
That's amazing.
That was a God thing because I didn't actually want to do the podcast. God and I argued about it extensively at 3 o'clock in the morning. I was like, I am really not going to do this. And he was like, yes, you are. And I gave him every reason I couldn't do it. And he shot all of those excuses down. And it's the very reason I ended up in Forbes. And so it's really cool because he got the glory in everything that I was doing with the podcast. And I was like, well, how cool is that? Like, he waited. I've been in business since 2011 and waited until I was doing the thing that he called me to do. It's crazy. And I've only been podcasting for a year.
That reminds me, I haven't been podcasting all that long either, but when we were talking earlier, it reminds me of the Bible story, Jonah and the whale. And so many times I've felt like Jonah, like I'm running from something, like I don't really want to be a leader because that opens you up to some scrutiny and negativity and people having opinions about you. You can't really hide in the shadows. Like it's comfortable to do that, right? And you are not hiding in the shadows, especially when you're in Forbes and all of these things. So tell us the other things too, how you're not hiding.
Yeah, I used to want to hide. So especially with like my marketing background, and I've been in public relations and things. And so you actually, like I was trained not to be in the forefront, and like you needed to be like a little secret shadow and, you know, make sure you're out of the way when pictures happen and nobody should know that you're here, basically. And so it's been a very different experience for me to be in the forefront like this. And I wrestled with God on this heavy because we're going through like a very nasty custody battle. You're getting like all of my life story where the boy's bio mom, she had some legal troubles and things. And then she dipped out for about 5 years and made a sudden resurgence when they were 8 and 10. Which is hard, right? So they're walking through their own kind of things. But we have been to court, I want to say like 56 times in 2.5 years.
Oh, Lemon, that's a lot.
Which is a lot. And so I will never forget, though, actually having to, and this was like such a huge shift for me. But I remember talking about, like, I just completed another round of biblical leadership training. And I was like so excited about it because for the first time, I felt like I was truly valued for the skill set I bring to the table, not just with my husband and my children, but with the work that I'm doing, the talents that God has given me and putting them out there. And I was really excited about it. And I had to sit in a courtroom and defend being a believer first and foremost, which a judge eventually shot down. He was like, hey, can we not maybe violate her First Amendment right? That would be really cool. But I had to defend everything I was doing. I had to defend the podcast I was starting. I had to defend the biblical leadership training I was doing. I had to defend all of it in a very public, I mean, you could go and download the transcripts right now and watch me go defend myself. And that to me, I was like, okay, if I can do this, if I can sit here and have an attorney scrutinize literally everything about me, then I have no more excuses to not be visible.
Right. Talk about an ultimate test. I could not handle that. I mean, I could. You would have to. You're put in that situation. But talk about massive conflict and people just tearing you apart in every way. That would be my worst nightmare. Maybe if I had to do it naked while singing, that would be my worst nightmare.
That would be terrible. Yeah. And it was so funny because the time felt like so short to me. Like I was like, I said to my husband afterward, you know, I ended up on the stand for several hours, but the first time it had been like a little over an hour and I thought I had been up there for 15 minutes. And my husband was like, no, he's like, you have been on the stand for over an hour just defending your faith and your business and everything that you believe in. And I was like, oh, okay. That time felt like nothing to me. And I'm like, that had to be a God thing.
That's very courageous. Absolutely. That's amazing. And actually, that kind of segues well into what we were speaking to earlier before we started recording about your passion and your love of teaching leadership to women specifically. And I was wondering if you could tell me a little bit about that and even how this connects to what you've experienced throughout this custody battle.
Yeah. So I grew up in I feel like I have such a weird childhood, but I grew up in a place where it was, you know, I'm going to be in leadership in every way, shape or form. I was pushed into leadership like early on, starting in like sixth grade. I started coaching cheerleading for first and second graders when I was in sixth grade and teaching dance and doing all of those things. And so it was just expected that I would be in a leadership role. And then I ended up in the C-suite at 26. I was the CMO of a tech company at 26. I was the only woman who worked there.
I don't actually know what C-suite is.
Yeah. So that's all of your like CEO, your chief financial officer. So I was the chief marketing officer. So I ran the entire at 26. This is usually like a 40 something year old job.
Super impressive. Yeah.
Which was, I think they did it on purpose because the company was hemorrhaging cash. And so when the first day that I started, and it was somebody at church, he called and he said, hey, you know, like, I feel like you'd be great at this. And I was like, yeah, whatever. And so I do it. And my very first day, he was like, hey, by the way, we can only cover payroll for the next 3 months. And then we have to shut the door. So like, either you fix it or like the company goes bankrupt. And I was like,
no pressure at all.
No pressure. I feel like that's why they did it, actually, because it's like, if the company succeeds, great, good on you. If they fail, you could be like, well, we hired a 26 year old. So like, not on us, you know. But I was the only woman who worked there. And so, and that was my last corporate job. And I will never forget, I was meeting with the sales team and all those things. And I said, hey, listen, I'm going to put out a little bit more content for women starting businesses. They're starting businesses at a rate of 2-to-1. I want to support women in this endeavor. And it got a little heated. It was very like macho man attitude in the office. And I was only working, I only worked till like 2 or 3 o'clock in the afternoon, just because I was like, the company can't afford to pay me full time. So like, I'm going to scale back my hours so that like, we're always in the green and we're good. I came to work the next morning and my office was completely vandalized. It was covered in phallic imagery, like on my walls, on my desk, on every file I had, like everything. My pencil holder had phallic everywhere. It was all over my office. And I got to work early and I called the CEO and I said, hey, listen, I was like, I am going to stay here till you get to the office so you can see what has transpired. And I took pictures and everything. I was like, but this isn't like a safe environment for me anymore.
Right.
And it was like, at that time that I was going through things church-wise, telling me basically I had no value outside of my womb. And so I felt like I was in a place where I had to be really small and couldn't share anything about me, and that there was no place in leadership for me, and all these things that I had been taught or felt didn't actually matter anymore. And like, there was something inherently wrong with me. And then I had a friend, she reached out, she said, hey, you know, do you want to take this biblical leadership training and stuff with me? And I was like, yeah, whatever, you know, so I do it. And it completely shifted the way that I saw myself. And I was like, okay, no, like, I do have inherent value. I do have. And it was, again, at the same time, I had another pastor at a church tell me there's nothing his congregation could learn from me because I'm a woman and I have nothing of value to offer people because I'm a woman. My husband was so furious. He's so furious. He was like, I can't belong to someplace that doesn't see the value in my wife.
Well, as you should be. How wrong is that?
I know. He's so good. He's like, God made you. So therefore you have value. Like that's, we can like just skip everything else. He's like, the fact that God created you means you have value. And so for me, then it became like, and all this happened kind of at one time. And so then I just became really passionate about helping other women. Cause I'm like, I know that I'm not the only person who's ever felt like this. Your wounds become your purpose, right?
Right. We just talked about that before we started recording, but I love so many things that you spoke to. And it sounds like as you were sharing your story that you got to this point where you're like, I can't live authentically anymore. I can't live according to my higher values and be my best self in this environment. They thought it was massive amount of persecution. All of these things happening that if they would have known exactly who would have done it, they should have been fired, if not more. Like that is completely inappropriate. And there was this fork in the road, this path. Did you end up changing at that point or how did it play out after that?
Yeah. So it was such a weird time in my life. So that is when I was also divorcing my first husband. Yeah. So all of this kind of happened at one time. He was addicted to opioids. It just got really bad. And so I always knew that I was supposed to live in the deep South in the United States, even though I grew up in New Jersey. And I was at church with a neighbor and she said, what's your next move? You know, because I had just had this thing happen at work. And now I'm leaving my husband because things were really bad. And she's like, what's your next move? And I'm like, I'm going to move to Savannah, Georgia. And she's like, do you know a single soul in Savannah, Georgia? I said, no, I don't. That's where God's telling me I need to go. And she's like, are you going to get a job? I'm like, no, I guess I'm just going to start a business. And she's like, aren't you freelancing right now? I said, yeah. She's like, how much do you make? I said, $500. And she was like, okay. She's like, so you're going to uproot your whole life, move to a state where you don't know anybody with a business that doesn't make enough to pay the rent. I said, yes, I am. And she was like, okay. And that was 6 years ago. And, you know, I haven't worked for anybody else since. And you know, God has definitely orchestrated every single step of the journey. But it really was like, it was a very defining moment for me. It was like all of these things. God was like, hey, I need you to take a step. And the only way I think you're going to take this step, because you haven't been living the way that I've called you to live, is if I basically disrupt everything about your life. I'm going to literally destroy everything that you were holding on to, every little piece of your identity, all of these things. I'm going to destroy them. So you have to build new.
I love so many key things that you said, Lemon. You talked about God had to disrupt your life. And really quickly, Lemon and I already talked about this, but I had something like that happen today. And I was actually praying. You always have to watch out for these prayers. But I was praying and that I would be like more teachable and humble, because I felt myself like in a business when it's just you building your own thing and you're like the CEO essentially. Sometimes like you need that confidence, and sometimes that confidence can become a vice. And I've seen it destroy people. And I was just like, I don't want to get to that point. Can you help me grow in confidence without becoming prideful and letting that like corrupt who you are and missing the mark? And so I had been praying like, just help me. And he totally did by disrupting my life, just like you said, Lemon. And I was thinking, maybe I should have made it more clear. I didn't want like that life disruption, but too late now, right? But you had that leap of faith. You had that refiner's fire and you just dove in. Like you changed it all. And I know firsthand how hard it is to build a business. And you went for it. That is impressive, Lemon. Tell us a little bit more about that.
Yeah, I feel like I didn't give myself an option, right? Like there wasn't a plan B. It was either make this work or be homeless. Basically, it was my option, right? And so my girlfriend, I will never forget. It was so funny. I was with her and a bunch of her friends right before I moved. And they were joking. They were like, okay, whatever, Lemon, like, we'll see you this weekend. And my friend was like, no, she's really going to leave. I was just like, okay, I'm leaving. And because I made the decision to move to Savannah and then move 10 days later. So it wasn't like this drawn out process. Every door just opened for me to do that very quickly. And so they were like, nope, she's really going to leave. And so then I actually saw them a couple of years ago at her wedding and they were like, where have you been? And I was like, I'm in Georgia. Like I said, I was like, here's my husband that I met here. Like, here's our whole life that we built down here. And they're like, you really just like up and left. Like you were over for dinner and then you were like gone. And I'm like, yeah, that's what God told me to do. So that's what I did. And I just had to, I think I had to put myself in a place. I think God had to put me in a place where like there was no other option but to rely on him and the things that he has given me in order to be successful, because there's no other way that I could have done any of the things that I did.
I really appreciate you speaking to that. Really just going forward courageously, even if you don't know that end result, knowing like, okay, I know that I'm supposed to go to Savannah, Georgia. It sounds like some movie or something, the way that I've always wanted to go. But anyway, you know that you're supposed to go there. You don't know how it's going to work. You know, you're going to do a business, but you make $500 currently. Like, this is going to be big. You did not have a plan B. And yet you trusted God. Like your biggest value, we talk about this with my clients, because not all my clients are Christian, but leaning into your values, leaning into those things that bring you purpose and joy. And that for you is very much God, and knowing that he could get you through that. That was your lifeline.
Yeah, it was the only lifeline I had. I had no other choice. I don't know. I literally have this verse on my desk. Actually, somebody sent it to me after I had completed my ICF coach training, but it was Luke 1:45. And it said, blessed is she who has believed that the Lord would fulfill his promises to her.
Oh, that's amazing.
And I'm like, that's like my life verse now. I'm like, I just have to trust whether things work out the way that I expect them to or not. I just have to trust that like he's sovereign. And I think my husband's been good about that. So we met at church and he always, and I think it's so sweet, but I've never heard anybody do this, but he thanks God every day for the good times and the perceived bad. Oh, and I was like, that's interesting. Such an interesting perspective. He's like, everything, he's like, I know that happens to us, happens for us. Right. And we were just talking about that, but he's like, I know that there's a reason. He's like, and if it's not fulfilled yet, then like God's not done with it. And I just think that's so interesting. So in Hebrew culture, it's actually like a little weird Bible history, but they don't have a word for tragedy.
Oh, wow.
Because they believe that if it is still in like turmoil or it's still in tragedy, then like God's not done with it yet. So they don't even have a word for tragedy.
That's really interesting. I had no idea. I just love how you're sharing your story, and both you and your husband sound like you were very faithful, and that gets you through all of these upheavals, whether it's with changing jobs, changing locations, changing work, navigating this custody battle. Like there's always hope and light through it. And I love how that comes through in what you're doing, just that confidence. And just in closing, I'm wondering if you could bring that back to leadership for women and even our listeners. A lot of our listeners, my listeners are women. If you could speak to that with them, like some encouragement, how they can do that if they don't feel that confidence in themselves, any insights you might have for them?
Yeah, I would say to whatever it is you feel like you're called to do, right? And I think leadership doesn't have to be this big, like grandiose thing. Maybe it's that you're just start with yourself. Like, how are you leading yourself? How are you caring for yourself? And then how are you leading in your family, right? Like, especially if you come in a from a biblical perspective, right? There's this idea that women have no leadership because, you know, your husband's supposed to be the head of household or whatever it is, but like you do have leadership, right? You do lead in some capacity. You guys may not lead the same, but you do lead in some capacity. And so like, how are you leading there? How are you leading in your community, in your business? It doesn't have to be this big thing. It could literally just start with like, how are you leading and caring for you first and foremost? I think that's like the best place to start, is to just evaluate how you're caring and leading for yourself.
Absolutely. That's wonderful. And we also just talked about this. We had a big conversation beforehand, but just those tiny things, those tiny incremental changes. How are you going to do it? How are you going to become more of a leader that you're proud of? That authentic leader that you hope to be? And just reflect on that. Get intentional, get quiet, get purposeful in how you're going to go about that. Thank you so much for speaking to all of these things and your journey. That's just so powerful. Your confidence, your faith, your enthusiasm. It's just contagious. And I really appreciate you being on the show today. Thank you.
Oh my gosh. Thank you for having me, Kendra. I deeply appreciate it. I love chatting about all the things. That's why I podcast. I can talk.
That's probably why we bond quite well too. That vibe. I just love it. As far as podcasting or anything else, tell us how we can find you on all the things.
Yeah. So my podcast is called Milk and Honey with Lemon, which Dad and I argued about too, which is fine. And now I love it. But I'm like, I sound like I blog or podcast about food things when I talk about leadership for women, which is fine. And then go to any social media platform and type in Lemon Price, or lemonprice.co is my website. Don't Google me, not because I don't want you to Google me, but because you will get the price of lemons at your local grocery store.
I did notice that actually.
Yeah, I'm a very hard person to Google, which I don't know is a good thing or a bad thing, but I'm a very difficult person to Google.
But once you put in podcast, a lot comes up and your website's so cute. I'm still revamping mine and I'm like, oh, she is so adorable. I just loved it. So yes, you can find her. Of course. Well, thank you again. And I appreciate all the insight that you brought on.
Thank you for having me, friend.
Isn't Lemon such an incredible storyteller and a phenomenal guest? I just loved interviewing her. Just a quick reminder to go to fulfillmenttherapy.org to sign up for life-changing one-on-one coaching. If you feel like you've been stuck in the bottom of Maslow's hierarchy of needs, in those basic needs, and you are so badly wanting to move into growth needs, to find greater fulfillment and joy and purpose, schedule an appointment with me today. It is the same price and sometimes even cheaper than current mental health counseling rates, but with more resources, an accelerated pace, and more insights on how to move up that pyramid with greater accountability and purpose. I'll see you back here in just a few days. Have an incredible week. Hey friends, I hope you enjoyed today's episode. If you did, chances are someone else would too. Would you take 30 seconds to share this with a friend who's looking for greater family fulfillment? And while you're sharing, tell me what you think about the show by leaving a review on Apple Podcasts. It refuels me when I hear this podcast is helping you, no matter what your house or your hair looks like. I'll meet you back here every Monday and Thursday morning for more episodes. Until then.